We're in our third of the series as we've been looking at God's unrelenting grace based on the book of Jonah. And I have to tell you, until God put it in my heart to preach this series, I really hadn't seen it from that before. And I'm so thankful anytime God gives me a fresh view of the scriptures, aren't you? Boy, I just love reading through the text. I was talking to Vashti this morning, and we're all reading together, many of us, probably close to 60 of us, and that's awesome. I have joined on a plan together where we're reading through the Bible chronologically. And I love when you take and you put what God is saying to you through what you've read. And sometimes it's just like, wow, yeah, I didn't see that. And God gives us fresh vision and understanding every time we read his word. Well, go with me to Jonah chapter 2. Let's look together at verses 1 through 10. Jonah 2, verses 1 through 10. Follow along with me as I read the text this morning. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Pray with me this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is alive. It is living, O God. It is powerful. And we thank you for what your word is going to say to us today as we are here in the sanctuary, and those who will stream this live or even later on, that your word is going to powerfully speak to us. We thank you that you know where we are. Whatever the depths we've gone to or whether the heights we've climbed to, you are at work and are working through every circumstance of our life. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, oftentimes, we wonder where God is in the midst of crisis. I know that there were tweets and texts this past week with the crisis that happened in Florida. And people were saying, where was God? You know, we may feel at times when we go through horrendous circumstances, or when we are anxious over something, we wonder where he is. We may even have a feeling of, God, have you abandoned me? Well, the story of Jonah is for us. The story of Jonah is about us. The story of Jonah is all about God's unrelenting grace. It serves to remind you and me that through all of our circumstances, through every hardship, through every valley, through every mountaintop, he is at work in those things in our lives. If we will just listen, we will see that he is doing something through it, and we will eventually see it with our eyes. So the story of Jonah is about God's unrelenting grace. And it tells me, first of all, that God is at work in my confinement. Look at verse 1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord. And verse 10, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah on dry ground. Too often, or perhaps I should say, that the usual understanding of Jonah's whale experience is that we just view it from the standpoint that it's God's chastisement. But I want us to step back for a moment and see that that isn't the full story. Certainly the storm came because Jonah got off track. And certainly Jonah went into the whale because he wasn't following the Lord. But the full story is more than just chastisement. There are other facets of Jonah's confinement that are powerfully important in our understanding of God's grace. When I view what transpires in my life through grace, because it's all grace, my friends. Amazing grace. It's all grace. You know, we sang this morning, I'm alive today because of the cross, because of God's grace. The grace of God. When we see our lives and we begin to view everything that happens in our lives as the grace of God, it changes us and it changes the circumstances and the understanding of those circumstances in our lives. Look at this with me. Yes, the whale was chastisement, but it was also, catch this, a shelter and haven in the storm. Think about that. You know, too often we see our confinement as just, you know, hard circumstances, but God is at work, and Jonah's confinement in this whale was a shelter, a provision against something greater that could have happened to him. It reminds me of the story, I think I've shared it with you before. There was a king who loved to hunt, and he was a king in Africa, and he had all of his guns, and he loved to go hunting, big game hunting, and he had a servant, a friend that would come with him, and he would always load the guns for the king. And so one day as they were out hunting this big game, he had loaded the guns for the king, and the king took the gun and he was aiming at this big game, and as he fired it, the gun hadn't been loaded properly, and it misfired, and it blew off the king's thumb. Well, I failed to tell you that this friend always looked at things in a very positive manner. And when that happened, he looked at the king and said, "This is good." And the king said, "This is not good." And he was so irate at this friend of his that would think that something bad that happened to him was a good thing that happened to him, that he put the friend in jail. He imprisoned him. It was close to a year later that the king is out hunting again, and he should have known better to go into this area because there were cannibals that were in this area that he was big game hunting, but he had heard that the game was especially large in that area, and he was excited to try and find a bigger trophy than ever before. Well, while he was there, he was captured by the cannibals. They had tied him up, and they had started the fire, and they were about to put him into the fire when one of them noticed that he was missing a thumb. Well, being a very superstitious group of people, they looked at him and they said, "He's missing a thumb. We can't eat him." And so they let him go. And as they let him go, he was just beside himself. He was saying, "Wow, this is wonderful. What a good thing that's happened to me." And he felt really bad for putting his friend in prison. And so he went home and he got his friend and he said, "I am so sorry that I had you imprisoned. You are my friend. I should have known better than that. And, I'm just so glad." He said, "I wish you'd always been with me. I shouldn't have had you put into prison." Well, the king looked at him and said, no, king, it's a good thing. A good thing you had me put in prison. Because if I had been with you, I would have had all of my thumbs." You see, we often can't see the end from the beginning. And in Jonah's case, even though this came about for chastisement, God was working in his life. And his confinement actually worked as a shelter and a protection for him in the storm. Because as you look at that text, you might even see he was, I don't know if he was a good swimmer. I don't know if he could have treaded water for 3 days, friends. So God provided protection. And there's another thing that we need to see, that this confinement, God is at work in it. And that is, God is at work making my confinement a sanctuary, a place of a private encounter with him. Notice, it transpires in this fish. He realizes in this time, as we've read in this text, there's nowhere else to turn but God. I don't know about you, but I can get so busy in life. And I can get just, I've got this to do in my list, and I'm working down it and all that. And I love God, and I follow God, and I read the scriptures, and I pray. But there are so many times where I can get so busy that I can forget how dependent I am on him. And this confinement, this hardship, this circumstance in Jonah's life made him see that there was no one else he could turn to but God. Do you see, he cries out to God. It's our scripture memorization for the month, isn't it? In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. In his confinement, in the fish, it became a sanctuary. I want to tell you, I love the sanctuary at Abundant Life when we come together. But there is a powerful place of sanctuary where we worship God alone. And it's just him and I, you and him, where you get with God and you call out to him. There was an old hymn, it said, shut in the place, in a secret place with God. Don't neglect that place. You see, God is at work in our confinement. God's unrelenting grace. Secondly, the story of Jonah tells of God's unrelenting grace in work in my confinement and then at work during my communion in that confinement. Chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 and 7 through 9. You hurled me into the deep, to the very heart of the seas. The current swirled about me. All of your waves broke over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters engulfed me and threatened me, and seaweed wrapped around my head. Verse 7, my life was ebbing away. I remembered you, O Lord. My prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. But with a song, verse 9, of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. Here's the point. The point is this. Look at how many times Jonah says, to you, to your, and he's communing with God. Now, I didn't realize something until I studied for this message this past week. But there are no less than 7 references in what I just read to you that can be directly related to the Psalms. Pastor Donnelly, when Jonah got into the fish, he didn't smuggle in that hymnal or Bible. What does this tell us? It tells us of the importance of God's word in a man's heart. It tells us that Jonah knew the Psalms. You know, he didn't have the Torah on him when he went into this whale. He knew it. He had read it and reread it. You know, I've memorized some scripture, but it's amazing to me, after having read the word and gone through the word and going over the word different times, how in the circumstances that comes up in my life, the Holy Spirit will just remind me of scripture. I want that for you. I want, whenever you are in a confined place, that your communion is such that the word of God just comes and wells up in your heart and your mind. The value of hiding, knowing, remembering the word of God. The word of God was Jonah's life support in the whale. He was on life support in this whale, and the life support was the word of God to him. I submit to you this morning that God is in work in our communion and has life support for us in trouble and overwhelming darkness and circumstances when we are in communion with him, when his word powerfully speaks to us. Don't miss that God's word not only spoke to him, but when I'm in some confining circumstance, it's because of my relationship with God. God that His unrelenting grace reaches to me through His word. So His word not only came to him, but His word guided him. It guided Jonah. He said, I'm going to look towards you, God. I'm going to look towards your temple. He's quoting the Psalms. I love GPS, don't you? Global positioning satellites. What a marvelous, marvelous gift it is to be able to help us to get to different places. Some of you who are sitting here will never remember a time where there wasn't a global positioning satellite. Before that time, there were maps. And some of you here probably, like my mother-in-law, Erna, just hate the fact that you can't buy a good map anywhere anymore because they've been discontinued. But did you know that before maps, what did they use? A compass. Before maps were published and you could buy them, compasses were a huge thing. I was reading recently that when the ships navigated the Atlantic, because you can't map the Atlantic, friends, even if you have a map, the compass was the way to find your way across the oceans of the world. A traveler who was making an Atlantic crossing noticed that the ship, on this ship and this time and era when there were metal ships, there was one down on the deck, and he observed that one of the sailors climbed up a mast every once in a while, a wooden mast, and there was a compass on top of that wooden mast. And he would go up and check it. This traveler was very curious, and he said, why do you have two compasses? And the captain said, because this is an iron vessel. The compass on the deck is often affected by its surroundings, but it's not the case of the one that is attached at the masthead. It is above the influence of the iron of the ship. Point here, my friends. When you are in the whale, you dare not trust your own inner compass. It is influenced by the sea, by the circumstances of life. You need to trust the influence of the compass that is above and beyond the influences of this world and our own understanding. And that is the word of God. Jonah says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. Salvation comes from you. The word of God guided him to acknowledge God's word and God's understanding of the circumstances. Finally, this morning, the story of Jonah is a story of God's unrelenting grace to you and I, and it tells us that God will work through our confession. He's at work through it. Look, Jonah says, you hurled me into the deep, verse 3, 4. Notice all the times, all your waves. Look at the you and the your that's here. I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look towards your holy temple. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God. You see, what Jonah began to do is, even though the circumstances were bleak, he began to confess that God was at work in his life. You know what he did? He recognized God's hand. That's the point of me saying, dude, look at you. He's referring to God's hand at work in this. Make no mistake, Jonah had faith and declared God is at work, and I believe that what we see there is God was at work in doing something good. Now, don't we have a scripture that says, for we know that all things, you know, does it say some things? I got to confess to you that there are times when things happened in my life that I think, man, it must just mean some things. Surely this can't be one of those things, God. I can't see. I'm in this whale. days and three nights, and it smells awful, and I'm so confined and crept. Surely, God, this can't be. For we know that all things. And that's what Jonah is saying here. He's recognizing, God, you're up to something good. I don't see it. I don't know. But you are at work in this. And look at this. Not only did he state that God's hand was at work, he confessed, but you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. Now don't miss that he's still in the pit. He's not out of the whale yet. You know, when I begin to see that through my confession, believing that God is at work in what's going on in my life, what I begin to do is I realize not only he is at work, but I realize he is compassionate. He believes and states that God is going to bring deliverance from the pit that he finds himself in. In essence, before, the New Testament writer would say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called to his purpose. Jonah is saying that. God's unrelenting grace is pursuing you. And I. Leonard Sweet tells of an unusual tribal custom that pictures God's unrelenting grace during dark hours. You see, there's one tribe of Native Americans that has this unique practice of training young braves, and on the night of the boy's 13th birthday, why 13? I don't know. Yeah, I think I do know why I'm 13, but... On his 13th birthday, they will take the young brave and they'll place him in a dense forest. And he's got to spend the entire night there alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of his family, of the tribe, of the father. But on this night, before they take him, they blindfold him and they escort him into what is the thickest and the middle of the densest woods that's around them. And by himself, he's to stay there all night long. Can you imagine that every time a twig snaps, he probably visualizes, is this a bear? Is this a mountain lion? Is this an animal that's about to attack me? And every time that an animal would howl, he imagined a wolf leaping out of the darkness to pounce upon him. No doubt it must have been a terrifying night for him. After what seems like an eternity, the first rays of sunlight start to break and they enter the interior of the forest. Looking around, all of a sudden the boy sees that it's not all blackness and darkness. There's flowers, trees. There's even the outline of a path, and to his utter astonishment, he sees the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and an arrow, keeping sentinel and watch over him, and he recognizes it's his father. My friends, that's a picture for us. When we're in this place of darkness, we can't see him, but the Father's watching. He's there. He's there all the time. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me, please?